Welcome to the big show. I am Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And this is a special day for the big show because this is the start of our summer format series. And Patrice, you get a high five for suggesting we do this. So here's the plan. What we're going to do for the next couple months, because it's kind of slow news time, we're just going to pick topics and talk about those. Today's topic is going to be the best and worst computer cables of all time. And I have no doubt we have all prepared just as much as we would for any other show, which means
zero.
Not. Yeah. Well, I'm Googling it right now.
I got my tea, so I got some preparation.
All right. That's awesome. So, yeah, that's all the preparation we really need is to have our tea handy. So, hey, we have an awesome panel today, as always. And you can tell it's summer because, you know, there's only three of us here. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a challenging week, a lot going on, which I think is normal. Like before people go on vacation, like other people, not me, they tend to like cram in as much work as they can. And I mean, we're entering budget season and so on. So You can imagine there is like on my level, there's a lot to do, like releases and budgets and all of that. But no, I'm good. Today it's really nice and cool outside. So that is actually quite nice after the swampy weeks that we've had. I'm good. And I'm really looking forward to the weekend. I mean, there's the first, the big show today, and then There's the Mac show tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go to Vienna and have a really nice weekend. So.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah. That's fantastic. Rich, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. I'm doing good. I've had a week off so far, so I'm not as stressed. I'll be more stressed later, though, because I'm going away with friends for the weekend, and I've realized I should have done stuff to catch up for that. I should have done a lot of things, and I've done none of them. But it's been nice weather, so, you know, what can I do?
So at least there's that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you're going away with friends for a while. So there's that too.
That's it. Indeed. I'm making that sound a lot grander than it is. I'm going to have a 2-day party with friends in a big Airbnb that we've rented in the middle of nowhere for somebody's birthday. That's probably more accurate. Well, it'll be amazing fun. I hope I remember it and can tell you all about it later.
Okay.
We'll see.
I'm hoping there will be a lot of photos so you will remember, or you will at least see the things you don't remember.
No, I absolutely guarantee there will be no photos. That makes it sound a lot darker and weirder or something else.
So you're basically saying you've learned from your government and I mean from their mistakes and you're not taking photos, right?
I welcome the opportunity to trash the British government. I find it hard to say I've learned anything from them.
Okay.
So I'm in a bit of a quandary there. But yeah, that was a fun thing to wake up to this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
If I don't know if you saw any of what happened yesterday. We had the Prime Minister's
funny
question.
Thing is- Yeah.
Where he, you know, that ended with everyone just saying bye, Boris, bye, as he ran off.
Yeah, as the ships are, what was it? The ships are leaving the sinking rat or something like that.
Exactly. And
saw that line somewhere.
Yeah. Something like that. I don't remember what he exactly said, but it's like that was good.
And then there was the parliamentary ethics inquiry. Which was just one of the funniest things I've ever witnessed in my entire life. There must have been sort of 30 MPs sat around a table looking at the Prime Minister, and they all just took it in turns to just have a go at him for about an hour and a half until he left. I'm not resigning, though. And then he resigned. And as he came out to give his speech in Downing Street, someone in the crowd was playing the Benny Hill theme music.
Oh, my God.
So that you could hear it over his speech on the news. It was rather wonderful. It was rather wonderful.
That is very wonderful and very British.
Yes, it is.
So I am being in the States, I try and follow what's going on with your crazy government as I'm following what's going on with my crazy government. And I was watching all this stuff yesterday and thinking, we probably have politicians taking notes so we can try and do what you're doing, but crazier. And when I got up today, and keep in mind, it's only just a little afternoon here in the United States. I haven't bothered to like look at any news. So I'm curious, do you have a government?
And, we still have a government.
Yeah. Do you have a prime minister right now?
Yeah. Yeah. It's still,
still there.
So he's resigned, but he hasn't left. Right. So
yeah, it's not like in the US. When the US, when you quit, you usually like leave right away. Or if you get fired, especially, you usually leave right away. Mm-hmm. Here, when you quit or get fired, most of the time you keep working until the end of your contract or like whatever your notice period is.
See, he's not resigning as prime minister. He's stepping down as the leader of the Conservative Party. And so the Conservative Party are still in charge and will be when he's gone. And so it's then up to them to elect a new leader who will become the prime minister. And then we'll probably have a general election.
Okay.
Yes, because it more
it's like, yeah, no one asked for this guy as prime minister, so now we have to have a general election. It's like, well, we could have just done that in the first place, but no, we'll do it this way because that's how we've done it for hundreds of years. And why change?
Right. Why can see how it's worked out so far. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's what we'll do. And it's just been a wonderful, goofy tirade of utter shambles, basically. The man's an idiot. Well, he's not an idiot. He's a very clever guy.
We shouldn't say that. Definitely not. Yeah.
Well, no, he's a very clever guy. He's just he projects himself as he would like us to think he's as dumb as Trump. But the trouble is he's not.
Yeah.
And he always hid that. What he is a tremendously awful liar. And that is ultimately what he's been done for in the end. Yeah. He kept being accused of things and he said, I haven't done that. Like, but here's a photo.
I don't know about this.
But here's more photos. No, here's 17 people who were there. No, it wasn't me. Like, you just stop. Just stop.
Yeah. Speaking of things that should stop, we should talk about the cables.
We should.
How awful down. So the topic is the best and the worst cables that we have encountered or that we remember or that will come to mind or the chat room will tell us. Let's see. Let's see what comes up. I'm going to throw the first contender into the room because I think one of the worst cables ever is micro USB. Like the micro USB cable that is so prevalent still. I mean, finally, it's getting replaced a lot of times by USB-C because USB-C is cheap enough now to do it. But I'm pretty sure today, new products are still being released with micro USB.
Absolutely.
And it's awful. Like it's flimsy. Like it bends, it breaks. Like the cables kind of feel all very, very cheap. After a while, After a while, the connectors even like break. Like I have a microphone that used micro USB. And it's not connecting anymore properly. It's just the worst.
I can't figure out, is it a weak connection? It feels like it's like a physically weak, like they're so easy to break.
Weakly designed. It's designed to break. Maybe that's the thing.
And it was the first one that I encountered really, I think, en masse that became so cheaply and crappily produced. En masse, that you just, they're everywhere, and some of them do just power and some of them do data as well. And they're some of God, it really gave you the opportunity to start seeing companies being cheap when they're like, there's a USB cable in the box and it's an inch long, and crap like that I've seen over the years.
This is from my Beats headphones, by the way. I think micro USB. I honestly can never even keep them separate, like which one is which, but I think this is micro USB.
Yeah, trying to keep track of micro versus mini USB.
Yes.
And which device needs which. And then how fast is the cable? And does it have data and power or just power? And there's no markings on the cables to let you know.
No. This doesn't say anything.
This is a problem I have with USB in general.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, USB in general is a horrible cable, but also a really good cable because, you know, well,
because of the universal part of USB.
Yes. But like even something as simple as USB-A, how fast is the cable you have? How fast are the mm-hmm. ports you have? How can the cable
is it Gen 1 or Gen 2 or Gen 3?
Right.
Or 3 point, what was the other one? 3.1, I think 3.2, they switched to USB-C, right? So 3.1, I think.
Can't you get 3.2 on a...
Be. Yeah, you can.
Oh,
you can
get a micro USB 3 cable?
Oh, okay, even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's already where it gets confusing. Like, what does what? And
if you're going to get into USB standards, then we've got a long show ahead of us, and it's no one's going to remember what happened.
Yeah, it's like deciphering USB is like deciphering like Egyptian like hieroglyphs.
Like right, but at least there's like, a standard until you find there.
Yeah, until you find the Rosetta Stone, you have no clue what's what. And I haven't found the Rosetta Stone yet. Maybe I should go look for that.
The Rosetta Stone that I have seen, and this became especially important with USB-C connector cables. I saw a guy post a thread, I think it was on Twitter a long time ago, where he would get a cable and he couldn't trust the packaging. So he would have to use a cable tester to figure out what it actually did. And then he created a whole color coding system where he'd put different color bands on each cable so that he would know what kind of cable it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, you plug in a USB cable and it doesn't do what you're expecting. And why not? I mean, it fits the holes. Why shouldn't it work? So he had to do this whole thing where it's nothing that we should expect anyone to ever have to do just to figure out what kind of cable they have and where they can use it.
I think we just got our show title. It fits the holes. Why shouldn't it work?
We have our show title. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, Patrice, micro USB is high on my list.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to add to that mini USB.
Mm-hmm.
and mini USB, for me...
We cannot keep them separate anymore.
We can't keep them separate. Which one is which? They both break easily. And with mini USB, there's a trend where different manufacturers will create their own proprietary mini USB cable just for their device. So you can't just take any mini USB cable, plug it into mm-hmm. certain cameras, or I think Roku uses a proprietary mini USB cable on some of their devices because like the Wi-Fi antenna is built into the cable. Mm-hmm. So it's not even, do I have the right cable? It's, do I have the right cable that came from the manufacturer for this device?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we could throw USB-A into that. Mm-hmm. Because I always say, like, it's the one cable or the one thing in the world that I know of where you have two options how it should be inserted and you need three tries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. Usually it's easy one way, okay, it doesn't work the other way. But with USB, it's always three. I don't know how that's even possible. There must be some... weird space USB-A time thing.
Exists in a super state.
Ah, that's why. Okay.
I once had a USB-A to lightning cable, and the USB-A end could be plugged in either way up.
That is awesome.
It was incredible.
I have seen those cables. Yeah, where they made a, I guess, a reversible USB-A cable, so it didn't matter which way you connected it.
Yeah.
And it was really cool, and at the same time, freaky. Because it doesn't feel like it should work.
Mm-hmm. No, but it did. And it was wonderful. And
do you still need three tries, even though it should go either way?
It just goes in. It was magical until the cable broke and I never managed to find another ever again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have USB-C to Lightning, which is
Which goes annoying. Either way and works really well.
Side note, dear Apple, if you could do the USB-C changeover on this one, I would really appreciate it on the 14. Thank you.
Go ahead, Patrice. Since Rich brought up USB-C, I want to offer that up as a best and worst cable at the same time. Because on the best side, we get what is slowly becoming, or more rapidly becoming, a true universal plug and connector. And it's reversible.
Mm-hmm.
On the worst side, you have USB-C, the plug, and then you have USB-C, the protocols, and they don't have to be the same thing. And there's no way to tell from just looking at a USB-C cable. No. Is it USB-C? Is it Thunderbolt? What voltage does it carry?
Is it only a charging cable like the ones from Apple?
Mm-hmm. And will it charge at full speed? Does it do data? Yeah. How fast does it do data?
Yeah, I mean, you might have a fast charging cable that only does USB 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Just because. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, the USB-C is actually only the connector. Behind it is either Thunderbolt or standard USB version, I think 3.2. Or, in theory, any of a million other things that could be done with that. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody says it even has to be either of those two.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you can do video, some video protocol. Oh,
that is true. Yeah. DisplayPort goes also over USB-C. Yeah. Yep. You're right. And HDMI, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I think HDMI might actually be converted from DisplayPort. I'm not 100% certain on that one. But either way, it's gotten better because you have one port, one connector, and it should do anything. But now you have to do the thing like where you keep track of what cable does what, because I mean, I have Thunderbolt cables that do like certain wattage, Thunderbolt cables that do more. I have the Apple charging cable that does only charging. I've used USB-C cables in different speeds, like from 2, I think, upwards. There's one. I have one cable that's a 2.0 USB 2.0 speed. Like, yeah. And you wouldn't. I mean, some cables have markings where it says, like, I think for Thunderbolt they have 3 and 4, and you can like there you mostly know what you're getting. But for USB, I mean, I haven't found any markings that are reliable.
Same.
It's like, yeah, you're right. Like, USB-C is good in one sense and really bad in another.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, I would honestly at this point rather have different ports than just have that one, because it's getting to the point where I just don't know anymore. And then I would prefer to have, I mean, something like MagSafe or something where I have a dedicated charging point that I know, okay, this port charges. And this cable is a charging cable because it's the only one that looks like this.
Yes. Yes. And in my computer bag, I have one USB-C cable that I bought specifically because it's an Apple cable that will charge or support charging my MacBook Pro. And so I know that one will handle the voltages that I need, and it also does data, so I keep it in my bag, and it's like my lowest common denominator cable, so that I have one cable that I know can charge an iPad and a MacBook Pro and other USB-C devices that I might come up with. But it's ridiculous that I've had to do that, and I know that the data speeds that the cable supports is lower than the devices that will use it. But at least I know that with this one cable, I get full charging capability on my laptop.
Right in thinking, particularly with the higher end MacBook Pros, that the MagSafe charger will deliver more power than you could get if you were charging over USB-C?
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
But if you get the right USB-C cable, then you can still get high-speed charging.
Right. Yeah, but I think, if I remember correctly, the wattage is different. Like, I think the high-speed USB-C cable only does up to 100 watts, and MagSafe does, I think, 130 or something.
I believe something you're correct.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I had just had to step away. I started hearing music, and I was like, what the hell is going on? Who's like? And I thought it was outside. It was the HomePod in my kitchen that just decided it was time to play some music.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's fine. No big deal.
Festive day at Patrice's place.
Yeah, I think I said USB, I think in USB in general is, it's a good idea. It just went really badly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have like Thunderbolt, and that's why we have Lightning, and that's why we have so many other things, because yeah, it just, I don't know, it's just not great. And it might not be USB's fault at all. Like, it might just be all the manufacturers like producing crappy stuff and so on. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? We're just doing their own thing with the cables.
Mm-hmm. We talk about A and C, and B never gets a mention. And I've still never figured out the point of USB-B, other than just to put on printers to piss people off.
Yes.
There's not a USB-B port on anything else. Printers, I've got an external CD-ROM drive with that, yeah. And that's
and
it.
And scanners, I think.
Yeah.
Well, and what I understand, USB-B was designed to be an endpoint cable. You know, so it's the thing that you plug the device into that's going to connect back to the hub or the computer. And that was the sole purpose of USB-B, which to me is weird. Why not just make USB-A on both ends?
Yeah.
And then just plug the cable in and
call it good. That's true. Like, just a double-sided cable would have been. Yeah, but you're right. That was the idea. A is basically the side you plug in, and B is the side that the device has that you plug it into. But yeah, I mean, and that's what we got now with USB-C. It's USB-C everywhere. Like, and it doesn't matter which way you plug in the cable. It works. So I don't know if it had something to do with directionality, that the transfer and power, no, even power wasn't even a thing back then, that the transfer was going only one way. But then, no, that makes no sense because it's a bus. I don't know. Like, it has always, it's always been weird. And they had it even for USB 3 still, because I have a Fujitsu, I think, SnapScan, the iX500, that has a USB 3 port, but it's also a USB-B port, which is really weird because it's taller. So yes, they made even a special version for that.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it's yeah. So I think, as I said, USB, good idea, on the implementation. I have some other contenders for really bad cables.
Okay.
Do you remember PS2? Like, keyboard.
Try as I might to forget, I do remember PS2.
Was it keyboard and mice? I think it was both, right?
Yeah,
I don't even remember. Keyboard and mice.
Yeah, I think it was both.
Hang on, I have to check this. Just
he has to go to his PC and check. That was like.
Like USB-A, but if you could break it even easier, because there's the four little pins that just sit there kind of unprotected.
Yeah, exactly. And I like, if you, I mean, the thing was, you could never, like, the thing with USB was, or is, even USB-A, there are only two options.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it goes in one way or another. But because PS2 was round, you never knew, like, which way it goes in, because also every like, computer had, like, or a lot of computers had different orientations. Like, one is was maybe, like, vertical. Mm-hmm. The other one put it in, like, horizontal. Like, just turned it by 90 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It was always basically slide it in slightly and then turn it until you feel like, okay, this is correct, and then put it in.
Yeah, there's that little flat part, but it, you know, it's not like like so obviously flat that it's super easy to tell. But then it also means that if you're trying to plug something in the back of a computer without seeing it, you're not going to do it. You're going to end up screwing up the pins.
More than once I've bent pins on those things.
By the way, I was just kidding. My 4-year-old motherboard does still have PS2 keyboard and mouse ports. It's a fairly high-end motherboard as well, and they're still on there. And as you say, the problem with circular sockets and plugs is there was no guidance on the manufacturer as to which way you have to put them. And that it wasn't just PS2. I mean, back to 5-pin DIM plugs, what people MIDI cables. Same deal. There's a little notch on, but where's the little notch on the socket? Is it on the side, on the top, on the bottom? What are they defining as the side of the top or the bottom? Do you know what? I mean, not to drag us onto another cable, but this was the problem with SCART.
I have it on my list too.
Right? It's cables that go in the back of things where you can't see them, and there is a correct way up, but you don't know what the manufacturer decided was the correct way up. SCART was that rectangular with a little triangular one corner. Is that the top right? Is it the bottom left? Who knows on this TV? Why don't you look? I can't, because it's in the back of the TV.
And the thing is, HDMI did not improve that.
None of the
cables did, because DisplayPort has the same issue. It still has that.
Yeah, it's the same shape.
Is it DisplayPort or mini HDMI, where you actually have to squeeze the cable connector to remove it?
That's DisplayPort.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, first, that's even you can't see where it goes. And once you get it there, now you have to blindly find the right place on the cable to squeeze. I mean, in theory, then, it should be easy.
Like, the flat in a sides, tight but... space, like behind something, maybe with like bigger fingers or nails or something. Where like I have like this display here as DisplayPort cable. Every single time I want to unplug that, it takes me 5 minutes to do so. It's ridiculous.
Yes, and if you have a TV or display where that the port itself is like right up against an angle,
I have that.
You can't squeeze both sides of the plug because you can't.
I think this display port only has one side, but it's hard to squeeze one side without squeezing the other side because you need something to squeeze it against.
Right.
Yeah. So as I said, like that's. Yeah, I said HDMI. I mean, HDMI doesn't have the squeezy part and it's not as horrible as SCART, but it still has this directional thing that is when you're plugging something, as you said, like somewhere, it's usually never in a, I mean, even on a display, like here on a table, it's never in a convenient place where you, it would be like, I mean, like my dock here, that's easy. Like, okay, I can just plug it in, not a problem, but it's never at a place where it would be easy to plug in. And then it gets really hard.
What we're discussing totally validates to me why you see some companies, I'm looking at Apple specifically, really pushing towards wireless for everything.
Oh, God, and,
wireless, or just make the cables bidirectional, like USB-C, and then it, or Lightning, and then it does not matter.
Right. Yeah. And yet we have a whole industry that seems completely content with cables that break easy, don't fit right, are hard to plug in or unplug, and may not even do what you expect them to do because they look the same as the cable that does what you actually need.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I said, I don't know what it is about video cables specifically. I think the only video cables that I would say were decent is a component. This is like, okay, that's it was funny. Like multiple cables. That. You just pop them in and they're like color coded in the right slot, done. Like not a problem at all.
Yep. I kind of miss those component cables.
Those were good cables. I think in general, for audio or video, those connectors were actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what they're called anymore. It's been so long.
The RCA style plugs.
Yeah. Like audio has that too, where you plug in the, I think Chinch is called, the Chinch cables. And then, yeah, I said they're like color coded, so like there is no way of messing it up. Like, okay, white goes in white, red goes in red. Mm-hmm. Like on the audio side, on the video side, it's, what was it? Was it RGB?
It depended. You could have yellow,
mm-hmm.
or you could have RGB.
Mm-hmm.
And RGB, of course, was the higher quality video.
Yeah, I said, but there was no confusion. I said, it was color coded and it was plop it and done. Like,
mm-hmm.
that was actually, you're right, that was actually a really good cable.
Yeah. I actually have those plugged in right now.
Mm-hmm.
On the back of my Audio Engine speakers here on my desk,
mm-hmm.
it's the red and white, so stereo plugs. And then the other end is a 3.5 millimeter audio plug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And and it's great.
There's no confusion.
The most reliable audio connection I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what quality wise. I'm pretty sure someone out there is screaming about it. How bad? I don't know. But it from a cable perspective, like purely from a connector perspective, it was a good connector. Because you can still have it. Like, it's still sold today.
Oh yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm using it right now. Mm-hmm. And I can walk into an electronics store, a big box store like Target or Walmart, even a grocery store, and pick mm-hmm. one up. And I'm thinking that most serious audiophiles wouldn't complain about that plug and cable system unless you bought like really, really low quality cables. The bigger thing,
people probably did.
Yeah. The bigger thing is the DAC that you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have some contenders for best cables for me. And one of them is, and this is going to be for the big show, a little bit Apple centric, but the original MagSafe. There was the second generation, I think, with the angled cable that was a little bit weird and I think had a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
But the original MagSafe was such a, I don't want to say a revolutionary invention, but it was a really, simply a really, really good idea, really well executed.
I agree. I thought it was weird Apple took that away.
Yes.
I mean, I get that
it was stunning that they took it away.
Plug into any port and you have power.
Mm-hmm.
But MagSafe, I think, was still a better solution for power. So I'm glad it's
for mobile device.
For mobile devices. I mean,
for like a stationary like computer, doesn't matter because I mean, well, usually the cables are put like if you have like a desktop Mac or PC, the cables are usually routed in a way that I don't think it would be a big problem that people would like stumble over them or whatever. But with mm-hmm. mobile devices like laptops and so on, that happens all the time because you're out and about somewhere at Starbucks and mm-hmm. some clumsy person or your kids or whatever, like they just stumble over that.
Hey, just get a dog and you find out very quickly how useful MagSafe actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
It's saved many MacBooks over the years. Mm-hmm. Has that? Yep. I can't imagine why they got rid of it. That still staggers me, because that charging on any port thing you mentioned. Who was asking? Who was like, yeah, this MagSafe's pretty good, but why can't I put it in the audio port? No one complained about it ever, and wanted to charge from every port. Mm. It wasn't an issue until every port was the same damn port.
Mm. I still like the fact that I can choose a side, because sometimes it's better on the left, sometimes it's better on the right, just by like where the outlet is and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the fact that I can plug it in any direction. So and I mean now the MacBooks have the best of both, because they have USB-C. If you want to plug it in to charge it, there you go. Like you got three of them now. I'm still salty about the fourth one. But you can also just plug in like MagSafe and it works. And I said, like, the for people who don't know MagSafe, it's basically a magnetic connection, and it has this tactile feel. Like when it gets close to connecting, it just, the magnets like attach it, and it has this click. It just snaps in place, and you don't have to align it perfectly and plug it in the right angle, whatever. Like, as long as it's close enough, it will just snap in place correctly. And it just feels so good. And when you unplug it, it's literally just like, boop, done. Like, no pulling on it or anything.
I believe the idea comes from the deep fat fryer industry. That's where they came. You get deep fat fryers with like MagSafe things on, because that, again, that's a big part of hot oil. You don't want that being tripped over. And so, it wasn't an Apple invention as such, but they put it on a computer, which seemed like a bit of a no-brainer, to be honest.
I mean, Apple didn't invent magnets or anything. So, like, for sure. I mean, but as I said, it was just a really good idea, really well executed. And people loved their MagSafe, and that's why I think that's one of the reasons why people were so upset when Apple got rid of it. As I said, they did a second iteration, which was smaller, but had some problems. It wasn't as good.
I was not a fan of that. That's on my current or old MacBook, which is a 2015, 14, something like that.
Yeah, that one would have had it still.
Yeah, and it's never been as sturdy a connection. It will fall out when you look at it. But I'm excited to try the new ones.
No, the new ones is really good. I mean, I barely ever use it because mostly it's on my desk and connected to Thunderbolt. But
yeah, I actually know people who didn't replace their Mac or MacBook Pro when they were ready to, not because of the whole they didn't like the new keyboard thing that we had to deal with for a while, but because MagSafe went away, and they're like, I'm not using a computer without MagSafe.
That's why there's a PC next to me.
And then now that we have the M1s with MagSafe, I know a lot of people that like immediately upgraded because they're like, okay, my computer's way out of date. Now I can get one, and I don't have to give up MagSafe. Done.
I have a question for Rich, because I don't know it. Maybe Jeff knows it, but Rich might. Is there something like MagSafe on the PC side?
Not that I've ever seen.
I haven't
seen and that either. Baffles me. Why not? I mean, if Apple patented the shit out of it and we can do it.
They didn't invent it. They didn't. All they did was put it on a computer. It's just power in wires. There's, you know, it's not an intelligent connection that I'm aware of, and so as far as I know, there's no reason.
It's a magnet in the cable.
It couldn't just be a de facto style of connector for power on laptops across the board.
My assumption is it's related to cost, and the connectors that we're seeing for power on PC laptops today, are super, super inexpensive compared to...
And horrible.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
I mean,
so at the high end, the laptops, we're seeing a huge PC laptop power packs these days. You know, for the high-end gaming PC laptops, you're getting like big bricks to carry around with you. I've seen ones that come with carry cases for the power supply.
Wow.
It's basically a desktop computer power supply in its own little shell.
Exactly.
I mean, Rich, when you were mentioning that, that actually reminded me the last laptop, the last PC laptop I had, and the reason it broke, and the reason I got a Mac. That was an HP, what was that? The one that the brand that they called bought from Compaq. I don't remember.
I want to say Pavilion, but I don't think that's right.
No, it wasn't Pavilion. It doesn't matter. Okay, it was one of their, like I said, they bought Compaq, and that was one of the brands. And it was like a business laptop, and it was quite expensive. Like, I think close to $2,000 back then, like in mid-2000s. And within 9 months, the power port broke, because it was one of those ports where there is a pin in the middle, and then the cable on the outside has just a hole.
A barrel plug.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. A barrel, and there's a pin in the middle, and there's a hole. And because that laptop, I mean, it was the stupidest and bad probably thing I ever bought. It had like a way overpowered GPU for that laptop for that time. And it was just drawing crazy amounts of power. But that port was so horrible. And as I said, on a quite expensive laptop. I mean, the MacBook I replaced it with, it was the black MacBook, was, I think, I want to say about $1,600-$1,700 about here at that point. So it was cheaper. So that was quite an, for a student especially, quite an investment. And as I said, it broke. They replaced it under warranty. It broke again after 6, 7, 8 months. And then I didn't replace it. So yeah, I remember that's probably that design. And I'm like, why would you do that? The piece that is the most fragile, the little pin, that is the thing you put in the machine. And the piece that kind of would be more stable, like the hole and everything around it, that's what you put on the cable. That makes no sense.
No, but then I had a compact laptop at the time as well, and they made no sense. Yep. I remember they had the way they made a range was, let's make an ideal laptop that's more expensive than anyone would pay. And then we'll sort of remove one component to make this thing palatable. So here's a laptop with lots of video memory and lots of hard drive, but no RAM. And here's one with lots of RAM and lots of hard drive, but no video memory. And then we've got a range of completely useless machines that are all a price people would like to buy.
Great.
But they're all crap. Yes, without exception. Yes, they're all missing something you really need.
Yeah,
but that's how we got it.
Was the time when I discovered Macs, even, because I had never even heard of them before, because they were not a thing here in Europe, mostly. I mean, especially coming out of, like I said, like mid-2000s. But at the university, there were quite some people there, and that's why I discovered it. And I mean, after that experience, I was like, I mean, and I was already on Linux. I was like, okay, F this. I'm going to a Mac, and I have not regretted it for a second. Even with all the keyboard issues and all of the things we've had, it's never been as horrible as that power board. By the way, the logic board, that's the funny part. It wasn't just this power board. And I'm like, I'm not someone who like mistreats their devices. My devices are treated really, really well. And they like, I mean, bar the whatever accident when I'm traveling where like, I don't know, someone bumps into it and there's like a little dent, which can happen. I'm very, very careful with my devices. After a year and a half, the plasticky shell of the device completely fell apart. Like there were parts flying off left, right, and center. Mm-hmm. The logic board had some micro fracture somewhere. So if you wanted to start it, you had to press a certain place on your chassis to like even start it up. Stuff like that. And I said, and that on a business laptop for quite some money. So that was the point where I'm like, okay, if HP, which is a reputable company, cannot produce something that is good, then I'm out of here.
Yep.
And to be fair, there are good laptops out there. Like, I'm not saying all of them are crap. Dell has, I'm not a fan of the plasticky and all of that. And I still like my Macs, but Dell has some good laptops.
Yeah.
So that's it. But this power port, I'm like, I just remember that. I'm like, this might actually be the worst design.
They're horrible. They're horrible. Yeah. And lots of music and audio equipment gets that put in it as well. Yeah. And they're all a pain. And everything has its own damn plug.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. But is that for this especially, it made no sense. Because, I mean, there's a lot of power going through it. It heats up. And I think that was a problem. It heats up. And then it just, like, the plastic and the glue and everything just disintegrates. That was the problem of this whole part, why it even broke. So it was complete, like it was just wrong. And that's why I was wondering, like, do they do anything like it? Like MagSafe? Guess not.
Not that I was saying.
Which,
so I have another cable thing here, nomination.
Go for it.
I think it's quite a good one. I think it's a famous one. The Atari joystick port. There's a blast from the past.
Oh, wow.
I have to look that up because I don't remember.
Atari joystick port. This was the port, the socket that was used to plug in the original Atari 2600 joystick and its peripherals, but also used by a number of other 8 and 16-bit gaming consoles like the Atari ST, the VIC-20, the Amiga, the CD32, the Amstrad CPC, the Master System, the Genesis, the Sinclair Spectrum, and I'm leaving other ones out. The Odyssey 2, my first ever.
The Odyssey machine. 2, yes.
Yeah, the first thing we ever had in the house. But here's the fun thing with this, right? Because it had, if you imagine a nice little sort of trapezoid-ish kind of thing with nine holes on it, five along the top, four along the bottom. And as all of these different systems came out over the years that all used this socket at four joysticks, the only four pins they could agree on were up, down, left, right. The rest are completely and totally incompatible with you and may produce random results when you plug a controller from one system into another. And in some cases, might actually do something like send power into a ground socket and blow up the entire thing.
Oh my God.
No!
Which is great fun. So while these things all look compatible, and if you plug them in and do up, down, left, right, you'll see that they work really well. But if you do something like plug a Mega Drive controller into a Atari 2600 and press C, then you're going to cause all kinds of shit going on in there. So
it sounds like a fun game. Like, what is it going to do? Let's see.
Yeah, what's it going to do? Are we going to see that little puff of blue smoke that we sometimes see when bad things go wrong, or is this going to be just fine? And you can look up on Wikipedia the Atari joystick port and get a graph.
I put it in the chat.
Yeah, you can sort of see the smattering of colors and how it starts to spread out of what you're doing. What with
I'm
that
looking
one?
At
what
the chart right now.
For you, that's grand. It's power for us. Okay. Well, and there's other, like, we don't know. So don't plug them into each other. But it was such
five
a solid
pin seven power. Who knows?
Yeah, could be anything. Just stick it in there.
Oh, and the ground just jumps all around. Wow.
Somehow, yeah, several grounds. It's not a good way to do this kind of thing. And yeah, they do all fit in. They do all do up, down, left, right there. And lots of fun. But many fond memories of this thing. Because I was, one. What did I grow up with? The Odyssey 2, then the Amiga, the Amstrad CPC, then to the Amiga. So this was my joystick port of choice for sort of.
Understandable.
The majority of my childhood. Until PCs came along and what the hell was the game port all about on the back of PCs? And when you get a sound card that had a game port,
it was the game port and the MIDI port because it was the same thing basically.
Oh, right.
And it took a joke, it was where the PC joystick port. What the hell was that one? Oh yeah, the game.
I don't know if that's the worst cable or the best cable. Like, it's kind of in the dead middle where nobody really cared about it.
I mean, okay. So if you look at the Atari game port and look at it as an Atari thing, the design is actually really good. It was solid. Yeah. It was really durable, and it was reliable. And the problem came in when everyone else decided, screw standardizing pins. Let's just do what we want.
When you think of the stuff that hadn't been agreed upon right at that point in the computer game industry, or just the computer industry, they were still like, should we not copy your software? Is that not bad when we do that? You know, we hadn't had that argument yet of like, you know, this is our software. You can't make that and sell it. That's not a thing yet.
And the funny thing is, it usually came with your sound card.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you had to buy it. If you wanted a game port, you had to buy a sound card. No, I mean, you should have one anyway, but.
Right. But yeah.
Well, that was when you were making that decision. Is this a serious work PC? In which case, I don't need more than that annoying piezo speaker that sits inside the case. But if we're going to play games, then we need a game card and it has sound and we can put speakers and analog joystick. You're making that decision, aren't you, there? And it's
true. Yeah,
glad it's we don't have choice. To do that. It is. It is. But look, as a teenager, there were people whose house you'd go around and we could play games on their PC. And there were kids whose parents were very serious and you could not go and play on their PC because it did not have a game card. That was for work. And so it wasn't. Seems ridiculous now, but that was a defining thing in some kids' lives. There are some kids in therapy now saying, "Dad would never let me have a game card." You know,
I bought my own.
There you go.
There you go.
I was, you know, I was blessed with a dad who loved computer games since there were computer games. So that made me the nerd I am now. But some poor kids, no game card for you.
I feel bad for those kids. Yeah.
I do too as well. I do too.
Hey, this show and all the others on the British Tech Network is sponsored by DSO Hosts, which is absolutely fantastic because they're doing what they do so well, which is provide hosting space and making sure that people have the bandwidth they need for streaming. And they're just giving that to us to support us. And without their help and their support, we actually wouldn't be able to stream amazing content like this to you every single week, nor would we have a place for the website and for all the show files to live so that you can come back and watch or listen at your leisure. So here's what you need to do. When you're done stressing about the horrible computer cables that you've had to experience over the years, hop on social media, which does not require special cables, and give TSO. Yeah, luckily. Yeah. Give TSO Host a shout out and thank them for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. If it turns out that you need to buy a domain or you need to have web hosting, hit them up for that and use the discount code BTN20. And they will give you a nice discount on that as well. So we really appreciate their generosity and the fact that they're here supporting us and that we get to hang out with all of you today or when you're watching or listening, simply because they're here helping us out. So thank you, TSO Hosts. And
let's face it. I wanted to say, let's face it. If Facebook had been invented 15 years early, they would have had a really bad cable.
Absolutely. Yep. Patrice, do you mind telling people where to find the chat, please?
Yeah, the chat room, the live chat. If you're listening to this live, which you can do every Thursday at 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. Also, by the way, Fridays at 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, which also will have a Summer of Fun edition, by the way. But if you're listening to that live, then you can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and talk to us live and see all the links that we're posting to the really weird cables, for example. So that's, I think that's a big benefit. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact, like in your, like, I don't know, summer fun on the beach. You're sitting there relaxing, nice drink, and you're listening to us. A rant on about cables. And you're like, what is that cable? I want to know. Like, you can head over. I want to know what it looks like. You can head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up and you put in today's date, which is the 7th of July, 2022. So 7/7/2022. Also nice number. And yes. Yeah, there will we find everything we talked about.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice.
I just had an idea. We should vote. Like I've noted down what we talked about roughly. We should vote on what is the worst cable and what is the best cable on our list.
Okay. So I love this plan.
Contenders for, and I mean, we're going to enrage the entire internet with that. I know that. Like that's
our job.
Exactly. That's our job. So contenders for the worst cable, we have micro USB, mini USB, USB-C, PS2, SCART, SCART / HDMI / DisplayPort, basically almost any video cable, or the barrel style power port with a pin in the middle. I don't even know what it's called. I don't care.
But we all know what it is.
But we all know what it is. So for the worst, like, what do you think is the worst one out of those? It's hard. That's really tough.
It's very hard. My vote is for mini USB.
I'm going to go with that as well. Yeah.
I would have said micro USB because it's smaller and flimsy.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I got confused. And that's the problem, but I meant micro USB because it just won't die. It just won't go away.
Yeah, the reason I picked mini USB instead of micro USB, and it was actually a very difficult choice for me, was because mini USB is the one where manufacturers turned it into a completely proprietary thing where you have to have the one specific cable for the one specific product. But yeah, micro USB, they're like neck and neck.
So I think we're gonna go like with the majority, which is micro USB.
Micro and then USB, have the mini USB gets an honorable mention.
Absolutely, runner up, like neck and neck. So that brings us to the best. We only have a couple. We have USB-C again. Mm-hmm. We have the original MagSafe, and we have the Atari joystick port. That's I think the only one. Well, we did mention Lightning briefly, but. We didn't talk about it. So which one do you think is the best out of that?
Oh, probably MagSafe.
I would say so.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
We're completely biased MagSafe. Because we like Macs, but MagSafe.
Yeah, but you know, I've been in the media lounge at conferences, mm-hmm. and it's a bunch of bloggers and journalists sitting there, and we've all got our laptops plugged in, and I have watched some completely oblivious journalists walk past a table, snag someone's laptop cord, the entire laptop spins off the table through the air and then shatters on the floor.
No.
And then the oblivious journalist sees what they just did and leaves. And the other person's there like, what the hell? You just destroyed my laptop. And they're like, meh. Yeah, MagSafe okay. is awesome.
So that means we have our contact. We have our picks here, like the original MagSafe for the best cable and micro USB for the worst, with a runner up of mini USB because they're so similar that we can't even separate them.
awesome.
Sounds great. That means we're done, right? We've got our first Summer of Fun show in.
Yeah, so well, we're almost done. Patrice, people need to know where to find you before we wrap up.
Oh, that's a good one. They can find me where they are good cables, wherever that is. No, mm-hmm. You can find me every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays and also on the Mac Show on Friday. So tomorrow we're gonna have another really cool Summer of Fun topic. And you can find everything I'm doing, all the like social media links, the projects. If you want to buy me a coffee to support what I'm doing, you can find all of that on thepatrice.com because there's only one. And if you want to listen to really cool people, not talk about cables or anything like that, but talk about food and food-related memories and stories, then you can head over to foodieflashback.com to listen to that.
Awesome. And Rich, where can people find you?
Well, I'm on my YouTube at Early Morning Barking, talking about BPD and MPD. It's some cheery stuff. Actually, I try and keep it light, you know, but it's all good.
You know, that can also be really interesting. I mean, I know people who are dealing with BPD, and it's, I mean, it's a very fascinating thing because there are things that you can do as the person with BPD or as the person interacting with them to just help make the whole situation better for everyone.
Absolutely. I try and do a mix of videos for both types of people. So I don't know, maybe there is something there for everybody, especially if you know somebody with BPD. If you have BPD, go and watch it. There and seek professional help. Don't just listen to me, for God's sake. I don't know what I'm talking about. I can't stress that enough. I am not a trained medical professional. I just have a camera and a microphone and an ego.
Which is almost the same.
Yeah, near enough. Mm-hmm. Near enough.
Yeah.
Just no formal training.
Awesome. Okay. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamut on both. YouTube.com/JayGamut for occasional videos. Most Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live, here on Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show, most Thursdays, In Touch with iOS, and also The Context Machine, because Brian Chaffin and I have teamed up again. I get around. So, hey, thank you to both of you for being so awesome and making our first summer of fun. This has been great. And thank you for everyone that is watching live and participating in the live chat as well. You are all awesome. I love all of you. Everyone that watches or listens later on, thank you for being part of this as well. We're glad to have everyone in the BTN family. And thank you to TSO Host for being here sponsoring us. Give them a shout out on social media. And be sure and tune in tomorrow for the Mac Show for another Summer of Fun show. And then join us again next week on Thursday for the big show again. Everyone have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you tomorrow and next week.